Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
And welcome back to the First Cut Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Kyle Porter. I'm Chip Patterson, and it's time. Cue the music.
For the 2019 superlatives.
I think there's like three different accents in there, I think.
We've got our tuxedos on. We've walked down the red carpet. We're ready
the
to
chippies.
The chippies. just as valid as any other awards that are named for an analyst,
yeah, or host. The ESPYs, the Dundies, and the Chippies.
The Chippies. All right. All right. Let's hand out some Chippies, Kyle. What do you think about it? Let's start with our first award of the evening. It's going to be Best Tournament. Now, we've left this open for interpretation in terms of what best means. And so I will ask not for your thinking first, Kyle, but I first want to hear your winner and your explanation.
I think I'm going the Hero World Challenge.
That was John Rahm as a winner with an actual tiger, like the one trophy that is a tiger, right?
It's the best.
It is the best. Is
the year that, like, I think this was like a couple years ago. Wasn't there a year when Tiger like got dressed up in red and black, even though he wasn't playing, and like handed out a tiger to Ricky Fowler
at the Hero World Challenge?
He might have been playing. I might be making that up. Best tournament. I mean, it's kind of disingenuous to say anything other than the Masters, right?
It is, especially considering what what it meant for golf in general. So, like, do you want to have a non-Masters division for the purpose of conversation?
Well, no, because we're going to do favorite, and so I think that kind of serves the purpose there. But I think it's the Masters. You know, I think even if you look at the other majors, you're like, okay, I mean, PGA was pretty good for like 90 minutes on Sunday. U.S. Open was kind of interesting. Woodland winning was a really cool story. Don't know if it was great. And then the Open was kind of a blowout. I loved it, and we're going to get to that. But, you know, I don't know. I think the fact that there weren't – I heard this the other day, and I couldn't believe it, but I think it's true. There were no playoffs this year.
Wow.
Is that right? I think it is.
Wow.
And I think that sort of makes the point that I'm getting at, which is that like we had some good tournaments, but I don't know that there was anything that was like, wow, what a duel. You know, what that was unbelievable down the stretch. I think just the Masters was great, and that's the best tournament.
Yeah, I was really trying to make waste management happen. I was really trying to make the Arnold Palmer happen. Even trying to make Rory's slept on Players Championship win happen, and it's all gonna fall. The thing, it is not just Tiger. It is the fact that was the turning point for Francesco, who, by the way, won the Arnold Palmer a month before the Masters. Like, we were very much ready on Saturday to commit ourselves to our Francesco based overlord, right? Like there was a point in the weekend of the Masters where it was like, well, Francesco Molinari is the best player in the world. We're just sort of living in his, we're living in the fantasy that he had, where what was it? He was going to go to a coffee shop so he could use the free internet, drink espressos and be an internet troll, right?
Yeah. Which is like basically just our jobs.
Right. But we were fully committed to this Francesco world. So it was a changing of the guard in a way, as Tiger sort of, you know, gets that from Francesco. You know, Dustin Johnson is right there. Brooks Koepka's right there. Patrick Cantlay is in the mix for the lead, a precursor to what we're going to see from Cantlay later in the season and at the Memorial, and continuing to be in contention in the playoffs. So like, cosmically, I guess, like in terms of the big moving pieces of the golf world, nothing beats the Masters.
Yeah, I mean, just the Saturday night leaderboard was filthy. I mean, you had Francesco leading, you had Finau and Tiger, Brooks, Ian Poulter, and Webb Simpson, and then T7 was Justin Harding, DJ, Kuchar, Oosthuizen, and Xander.
I mean, amazing.
That's sick.
Yes.
Yeah, it was awesome. And so you're right. It was not just Tiger hitting the ball in the middle of the green on 12, almost acing 16, you know, the march up 17 and 18. It was the entire weekend of that tournament was Tiger was kind of the low grade sort of thing running in the background at you know, throughout. But there was a lot of other, I mean, I think Brooks led after day one. So yeah, it was a great tournament. So Brooks and Bryson, 66 on Thursday.
So what's the most fun tournament?
So yeah, let's take the Masters out of this question. And I think, so there was a bunch for me. I went back. Tournament of Champions was awesome. Remember Xander and Woodland, like Xander shooting, what did he shoot? 61 on Sunday, I think.
Yeah.
Honda Classic was great with Keith Mitchell, Fowler, and Koepka were in that. Arnold Palmer was great with Molinari 64 on Sunday. And the Players was really good with Fleetwood. John Rahm almost, you know, sacked his caddy in the middle of the eighth fairway. and then Rory winning at the end with just the middle finger driver on 18 was great. I don't know. I think I probably would say this every year. The most fun for me is almost always the Open. And like, I get it. It wasn't compelling. Shane Lowry shooting, what did he shoot on Saturday? 64, 3 or whatever. It's not like the greatest television ever, but just his story, the way it happened, the Rory stuff, Koepka trying to, you know, finish top five at all four majors. It was cool. I thought Port Rush was awesome. And so I think the Open it's almost always going to be my favorite, the most fun for me. But I think those other ones are kind of in the mix as well.
I didn't hear you say Northern Trust, because it was so much fun watching Patrick Reed get himself into President's Cup kind of form. I mean, everything that Patrick Reed gave us in that weekend was so worth it. He had been off the radar. We had lost track of Patrick Reed, and the Northern Trust at Liberty National brought it all back for us.
Yeah, of course. Lady Liberty.
So happy that he's back. Looking forward to seeing how things go in December, and looking forward to Tiger Woods naming him one of the captain's picks in early November. And
Tiger might just name him the captain.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, like, you're very right about some of those other, like, and I will also throw in Memphis, because the giddiness for Brooks and Rory in the final group set the stage for everything that was about to come in the Tour Championship, and that was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was tough, because it's like week after a major. It's just the week after a major is so hard, because you're like, do I even like golf? You know, after like inhaling it for 7 straight days or whatever. So yeah, there were some good ones. I don't know that it was like a super compelling season overall. Like, I don't know. I feel like last year was more compelling, just from week to week. You had, again, like you, like the big tournaments. It's like Mexico. Okay, DJ just hammers Rory on Sunday. it just, there wasn't like a lot of like 18th hole or 72nd hole drama at a lot of these events this year.
We didn't have like Jason Day playing in a Monday playoff with no one on the course.
Thank God.
Jason Day fan club, Kyle Porter, vice president.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. For sure. Next award on our list. When I think of 2019, and this is more of a superlative, what do you finish the sentence? When I think of 2019.
When I think of 2019, I think of Tiger's shot on 16 at Augusta. Right?
I don't.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, look, that's what I think of. I think about standing there on the 15th fairway with Porath, watching basically Tiger lock up the Masters, and it having a I don't know what an out of body experience is like, but I think I might have had one. Like, I think that's what it might be. Feeling like you're watching yourself watch the moment. It was so bizarre. And I've had a couple of those on 16 at Augusta, most of them involving Jordan Spieth. But this one was Tiger, and that's the moment that I'll think of when I think of this year. Other than Rory making an 8 on the first hole at Port Rush.
When I think about 2019, I'm going to think about the ups and downs of Jordan Spieth.
Really?
No, I will admit that I'm probably just adding this for the context of conversation, you know, especially after we gave Rory and Brooks a solid full episode on Sunday night.
This is like the first cut with featuring Rory McIlroy, even though he's never been on it. Like, that's just what we talk about.
Hey, Rory, I understand that you're pretty committed to your own podcast, but you've got a friend over on the first cut. No, I mean, I was like truthfully, as I think about the collage of the 2019 season, I do think about what I would consider as missing pieces of the puzzle. The fact that Justin Thomas was hurt and was not as much in the picture as, you know, the excitement that I was feeling for Justin Thomas, you know, at the end of last season and coming into this season, that Jordan Spieth, you know, apparently lost, and then having some false hope from, you know, times where he's just putting lights out. I mean, like you mentioned on this podcast, Jordan Spieth, for lack of a more friendly term, wasted an all-time putting season in a year where he didn't have any finishes that he could hang his hat on. And so, like, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, players that I consider, like, greats that are going to be in the mix. When I think of 2019, I'll also throw this one on there. I'm going to think of Webb Simpson. I'm going to think that Webb was, for about 6 weeks, one of the hottest golfers on the planet, and that he put together a phenomenal year. Like, there was a lot of non-Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka storylines, non-Tiger Woods storylines that were kind of weaving in and out, you know, trajectories. We always do the stock up, stock down on, you know, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. We always do those things, and I feel like that was there was some ups and downs in the collage of the 2019 season that I'm going to remember that as the sort of underlying stories behind our Brooks and Rory world.
Yeah, I mean, it is weird to think back on the season. You had the Kuchar controversy. You had all kinds of controversies.
Sergio.
Yeah, JT against the USGA, Sergio against the planet, Sergio against everybody.
Yes.
Kuchar against the country of Mexico. What else? You had JB Holmes against the PGA Tour. You had Bryson against the there's just the slow play. I mean, there was all kinds of stuff that happened this year. And I don't know that any of them, I don't know that we'll necessarily remember any of them above the other. I mean, I think everybody will remember some part of Tiger. I mean, Tiger hugging his kids is also up there. That's actually kind of weird that I didn't go there first before the shot on 16. But I don't know. It's almost like there was more that happened out outside of the golf, like not off the course, but just non like swinging the club and hitting the ball stuff, than there was that actually happened in tournaments.
The thrills were not there from on shot link. They were all off book.
Yeah. Like I do wonder if like we'll think back.
And that's why Rory McIlroy is not the player of the year, because he's just a shot link all-star.
Oh my gosh. Don't get me wound up again. I mean, it's like saying, well, you know, like LeBron's not a great scorer. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Like all I have is the data, and it says that he is. I wonder if we'll think back on 19 and think about like the slow play stuff.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I don't think so. But there's a world in which like all of this stuff changes dramatically over the next couple of years, and 19 is the year where we're like, hey, that's when it flipped. Like that's when it shifted. Again, to me, 1% chance of that happening, but I don't know. It's in play.
Interesting. All right. Coming up on the other side, we will take a look at Rookie of the Year, Player of the Year, underrated season, and then make some predictions moving forward. Next.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any US orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
And now it's time for the perfect finish, brought to you by Amstel Light. This week, we are not looking ahead, but taking a look back at an absolutely perfect finish from Rory McIlroy in the Tour Championship, capturing his second FedEx Cup. Things did look a little rocky for Rory coming down on the second nine, where on 14 and 15, he took bogeys. Now, that made it look like Xander Schauffele might be able to jump in and take the Tour Championship, but Rory McIlroy responded in the perfect way. It started with a giant par save on the 16th hole, and then an absolutely perfect finish on number 17, and then another birdie on number 18. Two straight birdies to finish out his round. Rory McIlroy said afterwards it was important to him that he finished with the best overall 72-hole score, not just the top of the leaderboard with the scoring adjustment. And sure enough, at 13 under, with his 5-stroke bonus, he did have, even without the adjustment, the best 72-hole score in the field. So this week's perfect finish is still celebrating Rory McIlroy, who won the FedEx Cup, the Tour Championship, and did it all with a perfect finish at Eastlake Golf Club. And that has been the Perfect Finish, brought to you by Amstel Light. Make sure that when you're done with each round, you get the perfect finish and the perfect balance. It comes in an Amstel Light. All right, Kyle, your rookie of the year. Does it rhyme with
I'm excited to hear what you're going to come up with here.
Nung Pei Lim.
It does. This is hard. Like, okay, so I picked Sun J.M. to win Rookie of the Year at the start of the year.
Right.
Everybody was just purchasing all of the Cam Champ stock, and I went the other way. And he had 7 top tens, which is good, but he played in 35 events. And you're like, okay, well, it's an okay percentage. It's not great. And then you get, so I think it's a 3-horse race, maybe 4. It's Sung J.M., it's Colin Morikawa, it's Matthew Wolff, and it's Cameron Champ. It's weird that Cameron Champ's still a rookie, by the way. Morikawa had 3 top tens in 9 events. They weren't, they weren't top shelf events. He wins the Barracuda, finishes 2nd at the 3M, which Matthew Wolff wins. I guess I just give the nod to somebody who was there all year and made it to the Tour Championship. I think that's probably harder. Like, if you're just talking about what's the more difficult feat than winning a single event. But I think it's an interesting conversation.
I think Sung J.M. gets it because when I'm thinking about the full challenges of being a rookie, it is going out there week after week, competing outside of your comfort zone. And that's exactly what Sung J.M. did. There's been a lot of, a lot of stock has been bought in Sung J.M. here in this season. And I'm fascinated to see where it goes. You know, am I believing that Sung J.M. over the next 5 years is going to be more successful than a Colin Morikawa or a Matthew Wolff?
No.
But if we're just talking about this season, I think that the body of work is such that you give it to Sung J.M.
Yeah, I think that's true. More Colin Wolff and Victor Hovland, who recently clinched his PGA Tour card. Those guys are like all three might be top 50 players in the world.
Stupid.
I mean, like legit. Like Brendan Quinn of The Athletic, who I met this summer, kind of out on like, I think I met him at the PGA Championship. He does good work, and he interviewed Mark Brody, and it was like some of the strokes gain numbers for Morikawa and Hovland especially, like Hovland did not putt well at all at these events, and his strokes gain tee to green numbers are like kind of Rory-ish, and you're like, wait a second, like is he like a top 30 player? Like, is he actually going to be on the Ryder Cup team next year? Like that's the kind of stuff you start saying when you start digging into his numbers.
All right, so your player of the year is?
It's Brooks. You know, as much as I would like to give it to, and I think Rory has a better case than people would say. I mean, just statistically, like scoring champ, strokes gain champ, one of the best strokes gain seasons ever, 3 wins, wins the Players, wins the Tour Championship. Makes the most money. He was twice as good again as Brooks's strokes gain number per round. But Brooks at the majors was a lot better and he won a major. And I think it's Brooks.
Yeah, I'm going with Brooks because as I mentioned on CBS Sports HQ on Sunday, he's just that guy. I mean, he is, his name strikes fear in the hearts of competitors. Brooks is, so y'all put Rory on the Omar years ago, right?
I don't. Is that a The Wire reference?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Omar coming turned into Rory yeah. coming.
Yeah. yeah.
I think that Brooks plays that thematic role in golf right now.
Yeah, except he's always leading. He's never coming. He's just always out there.
Good point.
He's either leading or he's like T56.
Yeah, but when he starts to string it together, he starts to swagger. And when he starts to swagger, you're like, oh no. Oh no.
What's the
here it goes.
What's the round? We were not planning on discussing this. So if you don't have an answer, I'm not going to hold it against you. When I say round of the year, what's the first one you think of?
Brooks Koepka 63 in the first round at Bethpage.
Yeah, that's it. That's the answer.
Yeah. He goes and he throws it out there and he says, come catch me. Let's go.
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
It was sick. I mean, it was in the morning yeah. too. It was the first wave. It was the very first wave of the championship and he won it.
Yeah. He was up. Wasn't he up like five after day one? He was up. So the leaderboard, PGA. Oh no. Danny Lee shot a 64. Koepka 63, Danny Lee 64, and then Fleetwood 67. And then you get into the 68s. So he was up, I would say he was up four on the next closest real competitor. Danny Lee gained like 8 strokes with his putter that day.
Do you remember putting Danny Lee on a timer for when it was about to turn?
Oh, yeah. He ejected before like I got to the media center on Friday.
We were like, uh-huh, yeah, no, all right, we'll talk. Talk to me in about 9 holes. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. And like, you know, you were there, so I know that you were all over the place. But I specifically remember one of our editors, Brandon Wise, being in on that joke where it's like, we're putting Danny Lee on an egg timer. We'll see what happens. This guy's going to be cooked pretty soon. And sure enough, he did. All right. Underrated season for 2019. Who had a season that you think might have gone overlooked?
Underrated season 2019, Adam Scott.
Great call. Great leaps for him this season, especially considering where his game was. My winner here, we like him. We talk about him a lot. Kyle, what do we always say? He's got all the shots. I think John Rahm's season might go underrated.
I love it. That's a great one.
Dude worldwide was on fire, and in our Americentric conversations, we often overlook the European Tour finishes, but in terms of just like the quality of his game, Rahm's been so, so strong.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's really good. My case for Scott, 9 top 10s in 18 events. A couple of runners up. He finished 3rd in strokes gained overall.
Wow.
And 4th from tee to green.
Wow.
I mean, it feels like the only time you see him is when it's like, oh, he's putting with the pin in. And you're like, I get it. Like,
I
understand.
Okay, cool. All right.
But he had a great year. Like he was awesome this year. I don't know. So at the majors, he goes, he goes T18 at the Masters, T8 at the PGA, T7 at the US Open, and then he missed the cut at the Open Championship. But he finished top 9 in all 3 playoff events. He was really good this year.
All right, the biggest leap in 2019.
Yeah, this was a fun one because these are always fun to talk about. Feel good story. Max Homa. Starts the year 843rd in the world. He's currently number 98 in the world. Wins the Wells Fargo. People, I'm sure, are aware of his story, but just one of those guys that's like mega talent in college. PGA Tour is hard. Professional golf is hard, maybe mentally more so than physically. And he kind of just like went through the ringer for a while and comes out the other side with a win at the Wells Fargo. So cool story. Biggest, just by the numbers, Morikawa and Wolf made bigger leaps, but in terms of top 100 guys, that were already pros, he made the biggest.
I was going to say Morikawa.
Yeah.
That's I mean, fair. just because I had him based on what, you know, I'm dumb. I don't know the amateur circuit, but for me, I had him unfairly penciled in as number three among that that Hovland Wolf Morikawa trio, and I'm leaving 2019 not so certain about the order of those three.
What is the order? Give me your order right now. At the end of the 18-19 season.
Hovland, Morikawa, Wolf.
Right? That's the order, right?
Is it? I mean, you asked for mine, and you know more about the amateur golf. You've seen them more in college, but right now at this moment, I'm going Hovland, Morikawa, Wolf.
I think that's the order. I think that's the order. And it's funny because...
Wolf was the sensation. Wolf was the one that was like the Instagram star.
Yeah, and it's also the opposite of the way they got their cards. It went Wolf, Morikawa, Hovland.
That's right.
And so I'm with you though. I go, I think Hovland's like elite. Like I think
he might be like, elite right now.
I know. He is. And I did not, I mean, even though I follow the Oklahoma State stuff, I follow the amateur stuff to an extent, but especially with him. And it was always like, yeah, like he's really good. Like he's like keeping up with Wolf and, you know, all this stuff. But they get into the PGA Tour and it's like, wait a second. Like he's really good. Like he's, I don't know. People keep saying like, oh, Wolf's ceiling's higher and like all this stuff. And it's like, is it? I don't know that it is.
Yeah.
The way he drove this sounds insane and it probably is, but the way he drove the ball second half of the year, it's like him and Rory at the top in terms of strokes gained driving.
Oh my goodness.
Seriously.
I'm so excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, I am too.
All right. Well, now let's wrap up the awards on a less exciting note. Biggest fall of 2019.
I had three names written down.
I'll throw out one. I bet it's one of them. Phil Mickelson.
Oh no, I didn't. He won.
But if we're gonna go from the AT&T Pro Am to how you're feeling about Phil Mickelson's golf right now on August, in late August, what are you thinking?
How are you feeling about his beach body though?
or his latest coffee concoction that he's been working on?
Did you see the picture of him in the ocean?
No.
Like it might have been the lighting, but he looked a little, I mean, he looked kind of ripped for being 50.
So he's doing CBD gum, he's doing special coffee drinks. He's just all new age and I respect it. I mean, next thing I know, he's going to be taking young golfers on experimental idea retreats where they all drink special tea and go hiking through the California mountainside.
How many sessions does Bryson sign up for?
All of them. And he goes into each afternoon session hoping that he gets invited to sit at his table for dinner.
Yeah, for sure. Did you see the pictures of Koepka, by the way?
The body ESPN, the body pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I don't know. Sure. Go for it. That make you happy?
That's cool. I mean, is he... So my wife is like in on Koepka, right? And I was like, what's going on here? And she's like, I don't know. I mean, he's not ripped. He's just like kind of big, but he's like not even big. It didn't make sense.
I feel like, I don't know. If you grow up, I didn't grow up close to the beach, but I grew up spending a lot of summers at the beach. I will say that just for whatever it's worth, my basic experience says that people that are beach people are just way more comfortable getting close to naked, just in general, right? Like you're just like something about your life, your environment, just sort of the general cultural standards that you're around. more skin is just kind of the name of the game. It's just kind of what people do. And I am, you know, like the people that have always been the first to take their shirt off, or the ones that have always been the most comfortable with their body, in my experience, isn't necessarily the people with the best bodies. It has often been the people who have the closest relation to the beach or beach culture.
Who on the PGA Tour would you least like to see in the ESPN, the body issue?
Tommy Fleetwood, because it would be so sad. He would need a 1-800 number for donations right next to it.
I was going to go JV Holmes, probably.
No. I wanted to go the other side. I don't, if you're thick and you're big, whatever, I've probably seen that, but don't show me Tommy Fleetwood's rib cage.
Dylan Fratelli would be a tough scene. Awesome.
Agree. 100%.
I think we were on biggest fall. I don't know how we started talking about Dylan Fratelli without clothes on, but biggest fall this year, I think it's probably Alex Noren. So the three names I had written down, Alex Noren, Jason Day, and Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
But Spieth, like, I don't know. Like, he finished third at the PGA. I don't know. But Noren, at least in terms of OWGR, was the one that fell the most.
Okay.
He had a bad year. What were you going to say?
Okay. Like there is some statistical, there are numbers assigned to that one. That's not like our anecdotal observation. The player who was the highest who fell the most was Alex Noren.
Yeah, but also, like, remember how when we were doing this podcast in January, and I was like, I'm buying all the Spieth stock, and now I've got a bunch of, like, $7.50 Spieth stock
right.
that I'm just going to have to sit on for a while.
Right.
So I think there is a sense of, like, him struggling at, like, last year, but it kind of being like, is this real? Like, what's going on? And now this year you're like, oh yeah, it is real. And so, yeah, he's definitely up there as well.
Any other awards you want to give out?
What's your most memorable shot?
You know, I say that and it probably is Tiger on 6. I say all of that stuff earlier. Most memorable shot is Tiger on 16.
I think Woodland on 17 at Pebble is pretty good.
Pretty good. Hey, I would also say Tiger at 12 just because of the walk that happened after it. As Finau and Molinari walk to the drop zone and Tiger's just swinging his putter, walking to the green. After it's like, hey, you know where this ball isn't going? Anywhere but the middle of the green. Let's go.
Yep. Yeah, that was him walking to the green and standing up there while those other guys pitched up was kind of a low key, like, yeah, I've got 14 of these moment.
Yeah, 100%.
It was pretty sick.
It was pretty awesome. All right. Well, this has brought our awards and superlatives to a conculcion. Kyle, thank you very much. The chippies have come to a conclusion. Thank you all. Please tip your waiters, waitresses, and please drive home safely. You can follow Kyle on Twitter at KylePorterCBS. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Kyle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Chip.